have had several people come up to me and talk to me about the subject of the Ten Commandments, that they had trouble with the thought of the Ten Commandments, that we still had to abide by the Ten Commandments, because in Romans, Paul talks about the Ten Commandments, we are dead to the Ten Commandments. So I'm going to talk about this just a little bit. I talked to two different pastors, and then a doctor. He was a pastor, but he was also had a doctorate in this. And all of them said the exact same thing. I told them exactly what I told y'all, and they said, "Everything you said is true." Where's the issue coming in? I said, "Well, sounds like they're not able to get past the part about that we need to use the law anymore, that it's not necessary to even know what the law is." So this is where we're going to start. This is, he said something to me that was profound. I mean, when I heard it, it just absolutely made my eyes popped. He said, "The Ten Commandments is like a mirror." He said, "When you look at the Ten Commandments, it automatically convicts you of your sin." Automatically. The only difference is, when you look in a mirror and you look at the imperfections in your face, it shows your yellow teeth and your pimples and your hair is messed up. But it doesn't fix anything. It just tells you what's there. The Ten Commandments, since Jesus Christ has come, and by the grace of God and His grace, and now we have salvation, that's the way we see the Ten Commandments. It's like a mirror. When you look at the Ten Commandments, it shows you your sin. But we have victory over our sin. That's the difference. The victory comes through Jesus. It said, I was talking about one of the things He said, just because we are free. This is one of the, and it is almost said exactly the same thing. Just because we are free from the law doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want or ignore the law. Because of one thing, Jesus Himself, I read this scripture last week, said that He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to add to it and to make it bigger. Because of our love of Christ, our love for Christ constrains us. It holds us back and wants us not to sin. But if you don't know what the Ten Commandments are, and the Holy Spirit is trying to bring this to your attention, if you're totally oblivious about what God's law is, He said, the Holy Spirit has to work doubly hard to try to get it into your head that you're getting ready to step into something you're going to get in trouble. Just about being covet someone, or when you get ready to tell you don't tell a lie, but you tell not all of the story, maybe just half of it, to make you look good and that person to look bad. He said it causes you. The Holy Spirit takes that time and says, look, we are dead as far as to the law, and it is true, but the law is God's law, period. He still wrote it. We still have to abide by it, but what it is, we're not enslaved by the power of the Ten Commandments anymore. We have been redeemed through Jesus Christ. That means that when we look at it, it's between us and the Holy Spirit and God when we have an issue like what we should do on Sunday. That was another thing I talked to him about. I said, I was talking to him, and I said that they needed on Sunday to keep the Sabbath holy, and I said, I told them, but the Sabbath is not really Sunday, and it's not really Saturday, because the Bible doesn't say that. All three of them said, that's exactly right. No doubt. But the reason that we use Sunday, just say we use Sunday, that's because that's the day that we gather ourselves together to worship the Lord. And when you're thinking about that as being your Sabbath, he says, because of Christ, we do have a lot of freedom in what we can do and what we can't do on Sunday. One of them I was talking to, he says, you know, for one man, fishing would be a sin because he looks at it as being work. This man over here saying, and I'm not his judge, and he's not this man's judge. This guy over here says, man, that's the only way I rest. This guy over here says, I love riding my horse and working cows on Sunday. I just love it. It's just rest for me, just to push cows around, open gates, do all that stuff. This guy over here says, man, that ain't nothing but pure work. I work my butt off doing that, and I can't see how we can do that. How can you do that? It's just, you have to justify everything you do with Christ. No, yeah. Yeah, read it. I'm going to read 7 in just a minute. Well, we got ununified that Wednesday night. We were not in unity because we were all thinking. But that's why I said, and I told him, I said, well, this is what I told him. I said, if you can justify what you do with God, then it's okay. As long as you can justify what you're doing with God, and God's okay with it, you know, who am I to judge if it's wrong or not? One of the other things that they talked about is our flesh, the difference between our flesh and our spirit. They said, no one, the reason that Paul says that the Ten Commandments are dead is that no one alive, except one, can keep the Ten Commandments. No one. It's impossible to keep them. You cannot keep them. You can't keep them one day. Not one day. Not even a half a day can you keep them. Because Jesus said, if you thought it, you did it. If it came to your mind, then it's just it. You've done it. The thing about your flesh is our flesh. We have to separate our flesh from our spiritual side. It's kind of like when you buy a house, you go and you start and you clean out the inside of it and you get it completely spotless on the inside, but the outside looks the same. The outside is clean and pure and everything, but the outside is still decaying and rotten. Well, that's our flesh. That's our. It is tied actually to the Ten Commandments because we are actually dying from the time we're born. So your flesh is one thing. So when we sin, our flesh is like a giant magnet to sin. And this is one of the things that the guy said. He said, it's like a magnet. If you are trying to live for Christ, and you have given yourself to Christ, and you are a believer, and you are trying to live a Christian life, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, there comes a time before you commit a sin when the Holy Spirit goes, hey, Lynn, you're getting ready to do something wrong. That is a time right there where I have a choice to make. I can either feed, listen to this word, feed my sinful nature and give in to it. I give in to it and do it. Or I say, you know, I'm still thinking it, and I go, man, Lord, I'm sorry I even thought that. Please help me not to do this. You know, I really need help here. And the Holy Spirit takes over. Everybody on the outside looking around does not know what's going up in here and in here. They have no idea. All they see is what you do or what you don't do. He said, you've got to be able to separate your sinful nature from God, because that's what Paul's talking about in Romans. I'm going to read that. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Because it says that we're no longer a slave to sin. And it's true. We're not. We have victory over sin because of the grace of Jesus Christ. But if we look at the Ten Commandments like that we don't have to follow the Ten Commandments, it makes us grace abusers. Remember that word. Grace abusers. It means that you're saying, Lord, that really I don't have to keep that commandment. I don't really have to do that. Even though I do it, I'm sinning, and it's just one more thing that you're having to forgive me for. It's almost like putting him on the cross again every single time. If it's something habitual that you keep on doing over and over and over again, you are considered in God's eyes as a grace abuser. You're using that as a way to keep on doing what you want to do that you know is sinful. What were you going to say? Uh-huh. But people think that. See, that's the thing. That's why the Holy Spirit, that I know, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just because that you say that and it's down in writing, it doesn't mean that it's not true, okay? Listen to what Paul, this is kind of gives us an idea of what Paul says. He's talking to, he says, so my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ, and you are united with the one who is raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds. He goes on all down talking about the result of death and going on down. He said, well then, this is starting in 7. Well then, I'm suggesting that the law of God, am I suggesting the law of God is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. See, that's that mirror. When you look at yourself, it reflects, the law reflects your sin back to you. It says, it showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting was wrong if the law had not said you must not covet. But sin used this command to arouse all kind of covetousness desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. At one time, I lived without understanding the law, and when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life, and I died. So I disconnected the law commands, which were supposed to bring life, brought spiritual death instead. Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me, but still the law itself is holy, and its commands are holy, right, and good. He just keeps on saying this all down through here. I'm going to, just to make it short, I'm gonna just go over here to the end. He says, I've discovered this principle of life. This is in 21. That when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Till the day you have dirt shoved in your face, listen, if you don't hear anything else, you are always going to be tempted. You will be tempted to sin until the Lord takes you by the hand and brings you into heaven. Until that day, it's because of our sinful nature. Now, we have victory over it because of the grace of Jesus Christ. He gave his life. He died one of those grace abusers. Don't say we don't have to. It's all right to steal. It's all right to murder. There's people that are doing that in this world, y'all. Don't fall into that trap, what Paul's telling you. It's between you and the Lord. If you can justify what you're doing with the Lord, what does it matter? I'm not your judge. You're not my judge. I told you for years, I thought that if I went fishing Sunday evening, there was nothing wrong with that. And I guarantee you, it's because to me, between me and the Lord, it's all right. Now, you may think, well, that's working. Well, what does the Bible say? Don't judge me for what I'm doing. Be sure you're looking at yourself. Be sure you get that big old giant log out of your eye before you try to pick the speck out of somebody else's. Go ahead. Yeah? There you go. This is one thing that they did talk about. If you believe that you can go hunting on Sunday, let's just use that. I'm just trying to think of something. If you do this, if you go hunting instead of coming into God's house and worship, what have you done? You put hunting before God, okay? If you go, all right, say if the man went hunting, he went hunting, but then he got ready and he came to church to worship the Lord. See, you get to nitpicking somebody else's life. We get to looking and trying to judge what someone else does, whether it's working cows, whether it's going fishing, whether it's going hunting, whether it's driving a race car or, you know, anything. Maybe it's riding a bicycle. Who knows? Whatever it is that you like to do that you feel is restful, that you do on the Sabbath, that's between you and the Lord. Just don't look at someone else and say, well, you're doing wrong. Because what does that make you? What happens when you, what does the Bible say when you judge someone else? Do not judge unless you want to be judged, because that's what's going to happen. The same measure that you judge that person. Okay. Now that we beat that sleeping dog to death, does anybody now have an issue with the Ten Commandments that going on to learning what they are? I'm not telling you that you have to live, but you need to know what it is so you know what pitfalls to fall into or not to fall into. Okay, we talked a little bit about adultery. We talked about thou shalt not commit adultery and what that meant. But Jesus came back and said what? I think it was in Matthew 5. He said, if a man, well, let's just read what Jesus says. Let me see if I can find it. I think I wrote it down. Let's see, Matthew, yeah, 27 and 28. Never mind, I found it. 27 and 28. Five, yeah. Yeah. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery, but I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, ooh, you're good, maybe you only have one good one, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better that you lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Boy, that is a strong statement, isn't it? That you, if your eye causes you to sin, that's when he's talking about the Ten Commandments. He just added so much more to it. If you think that's bad enough, look, this is what it really is. If you think it. Yes. Uh-huh. Because of the grace of God. We're not damned. The thing is, you're only damned if you're not saved. If you have not believed that who Jesus is, and He is not your Lord and Savior, you do not follow Him. You follow the rules of the world. Guess what? If you think it, well, it comes into my mind. If I think a lustful thought, and it comes into my mind, the only way to break something that you're doing is to don't do it. It's when you just don't do it anymore. Now, I may think it in my head. If there's a point in my head where I've already sinned, okay, but I haven't taken any action. There's a point where I have to, at that point, I have to say right there, oh, man, Lord God, forgive me for that thought. Now, if I'm the type of person that feeds that by books, magazines, the internet, you know, I have given in to that sin. Okay? And It's hard to break that cycle, but once you make the commitment to do it and you just stop, then the power of the Holy Spirit takes over and helps you to keep from doing it from that. But you have to make a commitment not to go there. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, it's a hard thing to break, because especially if you've done it all your life. Yes. The closer you get to God, the more Christ-like you become, the more that you think that would be, the less I would be tempted. The more you will be tempted, the more, because he's already got Jobab over here in his back pocket. He doesn't have to worry about him. It don't take just a little bit to get him going, but he concentrates. He waits. You can shut the door and say, "No, I'm not going to do it." But if you don't lock it, I'm telling you, he knows how to open that door. He knows just the right thing to make you fall and to make you stumble. That doesn't mean you have to give in to it. Just because you think it, you just confess it and don't do it. But if you're a chronic thief, if you just can't help yourself, you just have to do it. You have to come to a point when the Holy Spirit convicts you. You finally come to a point and say, "I'm not." You may be tempted. You're sitting there looking at that pencil. I mean, you want that pencil. It's the ugliest thing. It don't even have an eraser on it. You want it bad. But by the power of God, once you make a decision, "I am not going to give in to that temptation," then the Holy Spirit takes over and helps you. You ask for forgiveness. You have victory over that. And you will be tempted by that the rest of your life. Just because you have said no, he knows the button to push for you. He knows that that's your weak point. So he's constantly trying to put it in front of your face. He's just looking for the opportunity. He will use another Christian, a brother or a sister, to put it in front of your face, to make it look innocent. Any other questions or anything before we go to the next one? Well, people will say, you know, I really, there's a lot of folks, now y'all hear this, there's a lot of folks in this world that they seem like really good people. They really do. They're kind. They seem kind. You know, they try to do the right thing. They try to live right. And you talk to them about the Lord and they go, "You know, I'm just not ready yet. I've just got things I want to do. I want to get cleared up in my life." You know, we are not guaranteed tomorrow, y'all. We are only guaranteed. We're not even really guaranteed the next hour, the next minute. We're only guaranteed the moment that you're in right now. Right here, right now, is the only time he has really given you. If he is dealing with you on something right now, then now is the time to take care of it, not say, "That's something I'm going to take care of tomorrow," because tomorrow may never come. The rich guy, he, in the Bible, he just planned all this stuff. He built all these silos to put all of his grain in. He just put, I mean, he built all this stuff. And boy, he put all that grain in there, and he was as rich could be. He was richy rich, boy. He had everything there was to have. And God said, you know, today I'm calling you. This is your day. That's it. And he did not know the Lord, and he died. He couldn't take any of that with him. It'll be too late. Once he comes back, once that horn blows, once he comes out, it's over with. The time is ended. And he is coming to get the ones that are his. And there'll be a lot of gnashing of teeth. There'll be a lot of crying. It says one will be taken and the other one will be gone. But there'll be cars going down the road, and all of a sudden there's no driver. And you're, you know, I didn't see nobody, you know, and you're still here. You're going to be wondering, but there's going to be a lot of folks that, to me, it says that there will be a lot that will know exactly what has happened because they've been told. And they'll say, it was true. Oh, yeah. It was true what they said. It's exactly what happened, and I'm here alone. And I'm going to be stuck here. What do I do now? And many people will come to Christ. But guess what? They have to live. They have to be faithful all the way to the end. We have grace. Any one of us that says that we are perfect and that we don't sin, you're a liar. We, by faith, we believe. You know, by faith we believe that we're going to get to go to heaven. It's only by faith. But it's something that we're constantly working on every single day. It's not nothing you can take for granted. We are working. You're not working for your salvation. You are hoping. Faith is the hope of what you've been promised. The hope of that Jesus said is true. That's what we believe, that what he said is true. Yeah. Well, no, that's the government. Let's don't start on Obama or any of that stuff. I'm trying to Woo. Yeah, I'm really trying to focus, you know. Okay. Did we do you not steal? You should not steal. Did we get that one? We did. All right, the one that we didn't get was the ninth one. This commandment deals with lying by saying, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What do y'all think that means? When you hear, don't give false testimony to your neighbor, what does that mean? Huh? Y'all tell me. I'm listening. What do you think it means? Remember when I said stuff about half-truths? You tell a story about your neighbor, but, you know, you put a spin on it to where that you look like the hurt one. You're the one that's being abused. It's not really my dog. It's them. It's not really my cows that's got over on their property that's the problem. It's them and that rotten fence. We always want to put them in a bad light to make them look like they're the bad guy. We should be honest in our private dealings as well as our public statements. In either situation, we testify falsely by leaving something out of the story. Have anybody ever done that? Oh, come on. Everybody has. I know I have. And it's just one word. that made me look in either situation when we testify falsely by leaving something out of a story or telling a half-truth, twisting the facts a little bit, or inventing a falsehood, God warns us against deception. We're being deceivers. Even though deception is a way of life for many people, God's people must not give in to it. Truth and trust are crucial to Christianity. Y'all believe that? How many times? Yeah, character. How many times have we gotten out of the deal where a handshake, when a man gave his word and said, I'm going to do something, and you shook hands? He didn't have to sign in blood. You can't do that today, can you? Oh, we got 40-page contracts when you buy a house or a piece of land now. Why? People are just not trustworthy. If they can figure out how to wait to not pay you, especially when they're paying payments, most people's words are no good anymore. He said, but it's vital to a Christian. At the core of God's character, you will find truth. There is nothing to hide, no reason to lie or twist the truth. When we live our lives in a way that honors and pleases God, there is absolutely no benefit to lying. Did y'all hear that? When we live our lives in a way that honors and pleases God, there's absolutely no benefit to lying. Then why do you think we lie? We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. How many times have you ever heard that? All the time. Did you want to say something, sweetie? Are you judging them? But you're still judging them. Are you trying to make you look good and them look bad? Yeah. Okay. I know. It sounds better when you say it than when it actually comes out of your mouth and you're going, oh, that didn't really sound good, did it? You don't want to tear anybody down or be judgmental. Only when we are doing things that we should not, says only when we are doing things that we should not be or acting in ways that are unbecoming to Christians do we find lying, deception, and other such means to be necessary in our lives. What happens when you tell one lie? Oh, I was good at this, y'all. I was good. You got to remember the lie that you told, because you told Billy Bob one thing and Henrietta something else and Johnny another. And you've got to be sharp to remember all the lies that you told, okay? Yeah, you've got to be sharp to do that. And I'm telling you, for a long time, I would say things to make myself look better because my dad was an alcoholic, because of how I was raised and some of the things that he made me do. I felt, I don't know, it was just something in me that I was always trying to build myself up. And I would tell a lie. And God would say, no, that's not true. And guess what? I'd get caught. When I wasn't a Christian, I didn't get caught. I got away with it a long time. But then when I became a believer, guess what? God made sure I got caught. He makes sure you get found out. He's going to make sure. It's going to be His job to make sure that your sin is revealed. It's going to come to light later or sooner. Yeah. Well, with my dad, it didn't make no difference whether you told the truth or you told a lie. He was going to get whipped anyway. It didn't matter. So in my mind, I thought, you know, I'm gonna try to keep from getting a whooping. That was my justification for doing it. Because I was lying, most of my lies was to my dad. So I was thinking, you know I'm going to get a beating. Because when I got a beating, blood was drawn. I mean, I had whelps where blood came out. I mean, it was bad. And so, I mean, it wasn't no cloth belt whooping like my mama used to give me. She'd give me one, and we would, me and my brother would be in the bedroom, we'd be giggling and laughing and say, "Did that hurt? Man, I didn't even feel that." "Oh, man, that's cool." You know, and then she's listening. No, she went and got my dad's belt. She went and got my dad's leather belt, and she said, "Now lay across the bed," and she really went to wailing. Well, we didn't do that anymore. He tells the story. He said, the story I love to tell of the resurrection from the Gospel of Mark, particularly the passage in Mark 16:6, when the angel of the Lord says, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." How different would this account be if the angel said, "Just trust me. Jesus is not in there, but you can't go in and see." Did y'all catch that? How different would it sound if the angel had said that? If he had just said, "Trust me." How many times have you said that in a conversation with someone? "Trust me. That's the truth." You know, and you were lying, you know. Said Jesus is not in there, but you can't go in and see. That would make me examine with a little more suspicion this whole issue of the resurrection. But the angel said, "Go ahead, have a look, go on in there. Take a peek. See, he's not in there." Christianity has nothing to hide. Nothing. We have no reason to lie or to be deceitful. However, many believers today choose to live their lives through a series of lies and deceptions, and in so doing, they break one of God's commandments. Let me ask you a question. Do y'all like people who lie to you? Why? Trust. Well, what's that got to do with it? What does trust really have anything to do with lying? Yeah, it has everything to do with it, doesn't it? It's a man or a woman's character that's at stake. Once you lose that, how hard is it to get back? Have you ever lied to your wife? Have you ever lied to your husband? How hard was it to get that trust back? It's hard. We do it, and we get caught, don't we? All right, do it, brother. Okay. Well, I'll tell you, I've been asked that, I think, does this dress look good on me? And I'm going to tell you what I tell my wife, because this is the truth, and I'm not lying. To me, she looks beautiful. The problem is I think my wife would be beautiful if she was wearing a tote sack. So when she asks me, does this outfit look good? Do these boots look, you know, I mean, I'm looking at the total. I see something way beyond the outfit, see. So I'm not lying when I say that. I said, "No, you're beautiful. Oh, that looks great." You know. But what I'm just saying It's how you look at your spouse when you answer that question. Yeah. That didn't answer your question. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, not answering a question is the same as answering it. I hate to tell you. If you refuse to answer that question, you just told her, her butt's big. You just said it. I mean, I don't know any other way to do it. You just let her know, oh my gosh, he thinks my butt's big. Huh? I know you didn't say it, but not saying it. You know, by not saying it, you're saying it. It's all the way it's just like I said, that's how I answer, is because that's the way I view it. Now, I don't know how you do it, but I think you ought to start doing it that way. You know? It'll keep you out of trouble. And now, if something really, really does not look good that she wears, I have told her that. I said, it's not very often, because you got to understand my sense of fashion. I'm going to use the word again. I did it Sunday. It sucks. I'm sorry. You can tell by the way I dress, boots, jeans, this is it, y'all. You know, I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. My shirt's a different color, you know. My jeans are, some of them are darker than the others. Some of them have holes, but this is it. So when she's styling, you know, she's doing all kinds of, you know, making this work with that, and these colors matching this, and I'm going, yeah, it looks great. But everything looks great to me because I have no sense of style. But I don't think she's ever asked me if her butt looks big. She never asked me that. Anybody. I don't know. But it didn't. Not for me. Yeah. Not hurting her feelings. Yes, I know. But the steel, the question, that's when you probably have to stop and go, Holy Spirit, help! God, please. What I say, I don't want to lie here, but it's as broad as an axe handle, whether those jeans are on it or not. You know? I mean, what do you say? I mean, just say not, you can't say, well, not any more than any other jeans you wear. Boy, it just keeps getting deeper and deeper, you know. The answer is, you know, I'm not going to judge you for what you say, brother. Whatever your answer is, I'm not going to judge you. I'm just going to say, well, that's between him and the Lord, you know. okay, sweetie, what? Well, then, if you don't really want to know, then don't ask him. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Me and my girls, we went round and round. That dress is too short. You know? If you bend over, what's going to happen? Oh. You know. So, another question. If this is one of your... It doesn't even have to be lying, but just use this since we're on telling lies. Have you ever enjoyed telling a lie? Just like, you know, just like any other sin, did you enjoy it? If you're not enjoying it, then what's the purpose of doing it? Think about it. If it's not bringing you pleasure or joy or peace of mind or comfort, then why do we do it? All right? Give it to me. Let her rip. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Healthy. For the next 3 days. And then from now on, I'll answer that one with this one. My wife is always coming up. She has been for years. She's trying to keep me healthy. And she comes up with these healthy things. And she will make them. And she will ask me, well, how did you like that? And I say, she knows, right? She doesn't have to go any further. She doesn't have to delve into the vast unknown stretches of words to figure out that I really did it was all right. I wouldn't, I might not want to eat that again, you know. But it was fine, because it was eatable. I ate it and I didn't die from it. Go ahead, Tor. No, it wasn't a ribeye. Garlic powder. It fixes everything. And gravy. No, I mean, you can't put gravy on it because gravy. But, you know, fajita seasoning does it too. I mean, there's lots of things that you can put on there, but there's just some things that are healthy. They're just so, you know, there's no other word. They're just bland. They're just like, You know, that's not like biscuits and gravy like Grandma used to make, you know. I mean, eating healthy is not always a bad thing. There are a lot of good healthy foods out there, if you're a good cook, that you can make that are healthy for you. You just got to find them, but they're out there. Claudia's got some book called Big Fat Healthy Mom. What is it? Oh, Trim or Healthy Mama. She gets these, these big fat healthy Trim Mama. I don't know. Someone that, anyway, there's all these. It's nothing but a bunch of recipes for eating good stuff. And everything she's cooked so far, I hadn't found one thing except there was a dessert one time I didn't like. And she knew about it. But I know I'm running out of time. But just think about when you go to tell someone, unless you want to eat that for the rest of your life, just exactly the way that they fixed it, then you can just say, you know, it's all right. You know, I could take it or leave it. And then that way, you may or may not, if you're the opposite end, you might get your feelings hurt, but at least you heard the truth, you know. That is so many words that guys don't really think about. You do have to give guy a little bit of a break, because his brain is not a female brain. It is a male brain. If he just, because you love me so much, Dessa. You're wanting me to be healthy. God bless you. Thank you. And don't ever answer the question. Just tell her that. What? It's edible. Yeah. But if you tell her that and not answer, you would have blown her head up so much that she will forgot that she asked you that question. I hope she don't listen to this. Yeah. Woo! Fan that. Man, that you never answered the question, but you just blowed her. You just blessed her. Oh, God bless you. Love you. Can you ever think of anything that's good that's come out of a lie? Yeah. Especially when you get caught. Yeah, but I tell you what, I knew this guy. He's always trying to lie at work. He's, I mean, he's just, it was. it would have, the truth would have fit better. But he just was, he just had to, I don't know what it was, but he just didn't like this one person, so he was constantly trying to make this one person look bad. So when the truth actually fit better and made the guy look a lot worse, he would lie, and it would make the guy look good instead of bad. He's going, that didn't work out. Not like I expected, but this is the way he thought. He constantly looked how to lie on you, and he took notes when you were in conversation. He either recorded your conversation or he made notes. And you'd say, what are you writing down? Oh, I just needed to just keep going. And he's writing down what you're saying, and he would use that against you in another conversation. Evil. One more. What are some specific examples in the Scripture that deal with lying and or telling the truth? Can y'all think of any? Exactly. Yeah. They had this piece of property, y'all. And they decided that they wanted to sell it and give some of it to the church. But what they did, they lied and said, we gave all the money to the Lord. Well, they blasphemed against the Lord when they brought him into it. If they'd have just said, you know what, we're going to give the church $10,000. We made $12,000. We're going to keep two or five or whatever. We're giving the rest to the church. The Holy Spirit would have just been fine. God would have just said, that's wonderful, thank you. He would have blessed them. But because they lied, do you know what happened to them? They both died. Peter confronted them, and they just fell dead. The woman came in, and he questioned her after her husband had already lied to Peter again. And so when the woman came in, she says, I'm looking for my husband. He says, oh, well. He said, let me ask you a question. Did y'all keep all the money? I mean, did y'all keep any of the money? No, we gave it all to the Lord. He said, well, then you get ready, because these guys are taking your husband out, and they're getting ready to take your body out too as soon as you're dead. And boom, she fell dead. And they came back in, they got her and hauled her out. So be careful when you say something about the Lord or the church, or when you're telling a lie about God or what you're doing, when it affects the church. If you want to give something to the church and you're keeping some of it for yourself, just be honest and say, you can call it selfish if you want to. No one's going to judge you for keeping it, but just be sure you don't say, I'm giving the whole thing, the whole amount to the Lord. There is a penalty. We have one more that we're going to go into. The tenth and final one. Cliffhanger. I always leave you, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, even though you already know because you're probably looking down. Any other comments about the Ten Commandments in general? I mean, everybody understand what the Ten Commandments are there for now? They're not to condemn us anymore. We have freedom. They're just there to help us remember what it is that we're supposed to be doing. We are free to do whatever we want to do, but don't be a grace abuser. I thought that was a good word, a good phrase. Don't abuse God's grace, the grace of Jesus Christ. Okay, anybody else? Anything got anything to say? Ananias and Sapphira, that's the ones that lied in chapter 5. And Peter had to give them the bad news. Guess what? It's not good. All right, well, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and next week we'll not do this because we we're not going to have Bible study next week. Tomorrow night we're going to be in Cassie. And Sunday we're going to have church as usual, but we're going to have, afterwards, Sunday evening, they're having the Bremont Thanksgiving dinner at the high school. Wednesday night we're not having service before Thanksgiving. It's going to be short and sweet, and then we're going to decorate. We're going to do the last commandment that night. Yes, we can. We've already been praying for the folks in France. And I tell you what, there's been a lot of talk about this, hasn't it, on the media about the Syrian refugees coming into the United States. Should we? Would we? Could we? Why should we? You know, we all have an opinion, you know, and what we should think we should do to keep our nation safe. I know my opinion. I hope you don't judge me for mine, and I'm not going to judge you for yours, you know. I mean, everybody has one. But I'm telling you, when it comes to arguing on Facebook and on, it gets to be ugly, doesn't it? Doesn't it, Brad? I mean, it can get ugly real quick. And just by making one statement, Satan uses that time to attack Christianity, to attack Christians. So be careful when you make statements on Facebook and things like that, because you have to be ready for Satan to raise his ugly head, because he is. And it's just, you have to be careful. So you have to stand on what you believe. And if that's what you believe, then you say it, but you just got to be ready for Satan to say something against it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. We just thank you for this time together. Father, I just thank you for all the questions. I just thank you for the comments, Lord, because it causes all of us to think. It causes all of us to be able to get it clear in our minds, Lord, crystal clear, what it is you're trying to say to us. I just pray that none of us go away confused, Lord, or wondering, questioning, Lord, that we see the truth, Lord, the truth that you give us. I pray you'd reveal it to us. Just thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone that's here tonight. I just pray that you'd put your protection on them, your hand of protection, that they would get home safely, Lord. I just pray again for the folks in France, Lord, as they're dealing with all the stuff that's going on over there, Lord, that you would just protect them, protect all the ones that are there. I just ask for protection for our country, Lord, because it seems like any time we could come under a gun again. We just thank you for what you're going to do, and we just thank you for your many blessings that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.